The Lord be with you.
With you.
Welcome to the Lord's house on this festival of the Holy Trinity. We don't always fully understand everything about our triune God. In fact, some of the truths he teaches us about himself tells us to go, what? But we still realize that the Holy Trinity is in cahoots for our rescue, and for that we are thankful. A blessed Father's Day to all of the dads here. Thank you for being reflections of our Heavenly Father's love in your families. Missionary Joel Fritchie will be here tomorrow at 7 p.m. If you're able to come, please sign up back in the narthex. We want to let the district know so they've got a count. Youth group, we're going to get together really quickly right after the service this morning to find a time for a fuller meeting. So right after the service today, Sunday school and Bible class today, we learn about Peter and John healing a lame man and finding out that has something to do with us even if we aren't lame. Midweek Bible studies, Wednesday at 10 a.m. or 7:15 p.m. Invite somebody to join you and come and join the group. Morning classes at Cedar Trails, the evening classes here at church. Next week, we will be bidding farewell to seminarian Eric Van Dievender. He'll be headed back to the Northeast. While he won't continue his work at the seminary, he will be continuing to serve the church back in Seattle where he came from. So if you'd like to bring a card or a note for him, that would certainly be welcome, and we'll have a little reception for him after the service. Sign up for Vacation Bible School or to help with the VBS back in the narthex. And also, if you haven't already done so, fill out a biographical page. There are copies back in the narthex. We need those for each of our members so that we update all of our records, make sure that they're accurate, but we're also using those for a demographic study as part of our long-range planning. So we'd be grateful if you would fill one out. Any other announcements that need to be made or prayers that we should add this morning? Greet one another in the peace of the Lord.
Thank you.
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. You may kneel or sit for confession. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I'm heartily sorry for it and sincerely repent of them, and I pray for boundless mercy. And for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him because he has shown his mercy to us. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him because he has shown his mercy to us. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace, 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 peace to his people on earth. Glory to God in the highest, and peace, 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 peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Glory to God in the highest, and peace, 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 peace to his people on earth. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Glory to God in the highest, and peace, 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 peace to his people on earth. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High. Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace, 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 peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity and the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith, and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the festival of the Holy Trinity is from Proverbs chapter 8. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way at the crossroads, she takes her stand beside the gates in the front row of the town. At the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud, "To you, O man, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth, before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him, like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise.
His greatness no one can fathom.
I will meditate on your wonderful works.
And I will proclaim your great deeds.
The second reading is from Acts chapter 2. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave or let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we're all witnesses of this fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the Holy Trinity in the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him because he has shown mercy to us. Holy, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The Jews answered Jesus, are we not right in saying you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar, like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. Now he saw it, and is glad. So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. God that calls for our attention on this Holy Trinity is Peter's Pentecost sermon, today's second reading from Acts chapter 2. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity we celebrate this day. Amen. Okay, it's the one day a year when we recite the longest of our three ecumenical creeds. And you know, I've been teaching catechism class for something like 30 years, and not once in all of those years has a single catechumen taken me up on the offer to memorize the Athanasian Creed. Not one of them, even when I offered extra credit for it. Even though it's filled with all of these great words like, "We worship one God in three persons, and three persons in one God, without confusing the persons or dividing the divine being," to which our catechumens might say, "What? Or Jesus, he is two natures, God and man, and yet he's not two Christs, but one Christ, these natures being united, not by changing deity into flesh, but by taking the humanity into God, not by mixture of the substance, but by a unity of person." What?
This is kind of complicated. Maybe we should have a membership test at Christ our Savior. One essay question. How can God be three distinct persons but one inseparable being? Or to put it a different way, how is it that God the Son can die for you, but God the Father doesn't die for you, and God the Holy Spirit doesn't die for you, and yet they're one single, unseparatable God? How does this work? By the way, if any of you can explain this, not only are you welcome to be a member of Christ our Savior congregation, but I would invite you to trade places with me so that I can sit in the pew and listen to you explain it, because I don't get it. I don't mean that I don't understand what the meaning of the surface meaning of the words in the Athanasian Creed and then the Bible are. I just don't comprehend how this can be. For instance, here, the Son is equal to the Father as to his divinity and less than the Father as to his humanity. Well, I understand exactly what that's saying. I just don't understand how you can be at the same time an equal and lesser. That's incomprehensible to me. I believe it. I believe all the truths that the Bible and therefore the Athanasian Creed teach. I just can't explain. But you know, if God were so simple that our puny minds could wrap ourselves around him, he probably wouldn't be of much use to us. Maybe it's a good thing that we have a God who is incomprehensible to us, who causes us to say, what? Because this Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in cahoots. They're not conspiring to make the Christian faith like complicated or confusing. They're in cahoots to rescue you. The Athanasian Creed says, the Father is neither made nor created nor begotten of anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. And our first reaction again might be, what? But this is essential, even if we don't understand all of the details. If the Father does not beget the Son, you don't have somebody who comes into this world to pay the price to buy you back. If the Holy Spirit does not proceed from the Father and the Son, there is no one to give you faith in the Father and the Son. And in either case, you end up in hell. So we need the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working in cahoots. They've been, well, before creation began, they were already working in cahoots, coming up with their conspiracy plan before they put the first parents on earth, before they said, let us make man in our image. Now, isn't that interesting? God's talking to himself, but he says, let us make man in our image, as if they're, from the very beginning, were maybe three persons who made up that one God. And as soon as humans ate that fruit, that the one being in three persons, God, said, don't eat from it or it'll kill you. As soon as humans ate that, the Holy Trinity, in cahoots, put their conspiracy plan into action and began to undo all of the effects of the eating of that fruit. And the effects of the fruit are all around us. There are floodwaters covering fields and businesses, ruining livelihoods. There's division and discord in our government and our society. It's as if we cannot disagree without being disagreeable. Clergy abuse children. Right now, it's the Southern Baptists and the Roman Catholics who are in the headlines. Our governor and legislature have just legalized the murder of babies right up until the time of birth. It's hard for me to comprehend how we can condemn Hitler for killing off inconvenient Jews, or Stalin for killing his inconvenient opponents, when we allow parents to kill any inconvenient babies they might have. The effects of the eating of that fruit come right up and stare us in the face when we're looking into a casket, into the deceased face of someone we love. This Tuesday, my family will gather to mourn my uncle's death. And even if you've never stared into a casket, as we get a little older, we begin to feel the effects of aging pulling us relentlessly toward the grave, and there's nothing we can do about it. Peter understands this. And so in his sermon on Pentecost, he quotes Psalm 110. He says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." And at first reading, this might be another of those passages to which you say, what? But let me explain. This is David writing, by the way. Peter is repeating David's words. So David's writing, "The Lord," that's God the Father, "said to my Lord," that's God the Son, "sit at my right hand." That's what happened when our crucified and risen Lord ascended into heaven. The Father is saying to the Son, "Come and reign with me until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." More on that footstool in a second. But first notice that David speaks of the Messiah, who isn't going to be born for another 1,000 years, as if he already exists. He calls him my Lord. As if Jesus existed before he was born. And he does, as Jesus reminds us in today's gospel. The people want to know, what, you think you're greater than Abraham? He died. He lived 2,000 years ago. And Jesus says, "Before Abraham was, I am." Which is to say, there were thousands of years before God the Son existed as a human, before he was conceived in Mary. But there's never been a moment when God the Son did not exist as God. And now God the Father tells his Son, "I will make your enemies a footstool for your feet." This is, again, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working in cahoots for our rescue. Back then, a king, if he won a war, might put his foot on top of the neck of the conquered king, thereby making the conquered king his footstool. Isn't there a sense in which that's what Satan does to us? If you give in to the devil just once, one time disobeying your heavenly Father, then Satan has his foot over the top of your neck, able to kill you at any moment. That's if you've done it, disobeyed God once. But you and I both disobeyed God a whole lot more than once. We might say, "Oh, Jesus is going to prevent Satan from killing us." Well, that's not true. Unless Jesus returns again before you and I die, Satan's going to stomp our neck. We will die. Some of us may die violently, the way those Christians did in Sri Lanka when they were worshiping on Easter morning and their church was bombed. Some may die in accidents, like my uncle. Some may die from nature, run amok, like people in the Midwest floods or in the heat wave that's going through India right now. Some of us will die from old age. All of us will die from sin, which is why we need the Trinity working in cahoots to make death his footstool, to turn our enemy, or to conquer our enemy for us. And that's precisely what he does. Again, David, again being quoted by Peter in that Pentecost sermon, writes, this time in Psalm 16, "You will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see decay." David can't be talking about himself when he says, "Your Holy One won't see decay," because David's body, as Peter reminds us, had been in the grave and rotting for 1,000 years when Pentecost came. It's been 2,000 years more that it's been rotting since then. He can't be talking about our bodies either, because unless Jesus returns first, All of our bodies will be laid in the grave and we will decay. So whose body is it that isn't going to decay? Jesus's, God the Son. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, working their conspiracy plan, make sure that great David's greater offspring, his greater descendant, is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried for you. But also make sure that he rose from the dead on the third day before his body could see decay. Dear Christian, you are baptized into the name of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That means you are connected to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Peter especially emphasizes in his Pentecost sermon that you are connected to the Son, whose never decayed body was once dead in a grave, but now is reigning at the right hand of God. What does this mean for you? Your body may well see corruption. This means you'll be rotting in the grave. So despise death. Death is not what the Holy Trinity intended for you. But do not fear death. Do not fear the day that your body may be laid in a grave and the skin rot off your bones, because you are baptized into Jesus' resurrection. Remember Ezekiel? He saw this valley filled with dry bones. All of these corpses from which the flesh disappeared. And then the Holy Trinity begins his conspiracy work. The Holy Trinity begins reversing the rotting. And dry bone connects to dry bone, and then sinews form. And then flesh covers over that dried up skeleton. And then the Holy Spirit breathes breath back into those once dead bodies. This, dear Christians, is what will happen to you and me if we die before our Lord returns. There will be a reverse of our rotting whenever Jesus does return. That is to say, dry bone will be attached to dry bone, sinews will form, skin will cover over that once shriveled skeleton, and the Holy Spirit will breathe life back into our bodies, our flesh and spirits reunited the way God intended them to be. This is sure and certain because you have been baptized into Jesus' resurrection. Do not continue to live as if your body is going to die and rot and stay shriveled in a grave. You, dear Christians, have the Holy Trinity. You have resurrection life waiting for you. There is no doubt. So work for the Trinity. Obey his commandments. Live as the eternally living people that God has made you to be. As you do so, there may be still times when you learn the truths about the triune God and say, "What?" Because we don't fully comprehend him. But we celebrate that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in cahoots. The Holy Trinity has been working since before the foundation of the world. His conspiracy plan to make sure that you spend forever with the Holy Trinity. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand to confess the Holy Christian faith in the words of the Athanasian Creed. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold to the Catholic faith. Whoever now this is the Catholic faith.
We worship one God in three persons, and three persons in one God, without confusion of persons, or divided in the divine being.
For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. What the Father is, so is the Son, and so is the Holy Spirit.
The Father is uncreated, the Son is uncreated.
The Holy Spirit is uncreated. The Father is infinite. The Son is infinite. The Holy Spirit is infinite. The Father is eternal. The Son is eternal. The Holy Spirit is eternal. And yet there are not three eternal beings, but one who is eternal, just as there are not three uncreated or infinite beings, but one who is uncreated and infinite.
In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, the Holy Spirit is almighty, and yet they are not three almighty beings, but one who is almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord.
For just as the Christian truth compels us to confess each distinct person as God and Lord, so the Catholic faith forbids us to speak of three gods or three lords. So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think as such about the Trinity. Therefore, it is the true faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. Although he is God and man, nevertheless, he is not two, but one Christ. For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ. At his coming, all people will rise with their bodies and give an account for their deeds. This is the Catholic faith. Let us pray. O Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, accept our inadequate but grateful praise for creating us, preserving us, redeeming us, sanctifying us, and delivering to us your forgiveness and salvation. Lord, in your mercy, Holy Trinity, renew the zeal of your church. Work in our congregation, in St. Mark and Zion and St. Matthew's and St. Paul congregations, in all the churches of our Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and every Christian parish everywhere. Increase our desire and guide our efforts to proclaim how you have rescued us. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, thank you for your work in the lives of Kate, Gwen, Jenna, Carson, Ashley, and all our graduates. Continue to guide their lives, strengthen them for daily work for you, assure them of your constant care, and most of all, nourish their faith so that through all the distractions of life, they never cease trusting Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the church, watch over missionaries, ministers, and leaders of our synod. Care for their families. Make their work fruitful and fulfilling. Guide the council and elders and leaders of the Christ our Savior family so that we know your will and are committed to your ways. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, fill all earthly fathers with your selfless, loving kindness. Grant them fulfillment in our vocations as dads. Strengthen us for our work. Give us a desire not just to provide earthly care for our families, but most of all, to teach your eternal truths to our children. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Trinity, prosper the work of farmers and all who work to put food on our tables. Grant seasonable weather and fruitful fields. Teach us to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. Lord, in your mercy. Ruler of all in terrorism and anarchy, defeat the plans of those who stir up violence and hatred. Protect those who serve in our military. Watch over their families. Fill them with courage and integrity. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Trinity, you promise that you will never forsake us. Grant peace, faith, and patience to those who are sick, suffering, worried, or recovering. Be with Gloria, Charles, Gertrude, David, Jeremy, Matt, Tara, Barb, Ellis, Sherry, Kathy, Alvin, Jeanette, Herb, Parker, Reagan, Ingrid, the Martinez family, Mel, Jeanette, Nina, and Sharon. Protect those who are threatened by floods and natural disasters. Comfort all who mourn. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Trinity, you've placed your triune name on each of us in baptism. Give us faith to trust you, even when our feeble minds cannot understand you. We remember Kent with thanksgiving and praise you for the faith that you gave to him and his example of good works. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, thank you for the gift of families. Teach us and our nation to treasure your gift of marriage as the union of one man and one woman in love and faithfulness for life. Lead those who seek spouses to a godly mate. Keep Molly and Dakota and every couple you have joined as husband and wife faithful to each other and to you. Bless them and all of us in our service to you, whether you have gifted us with singleness or marriage. Lord, in your mercy. Giving God, we don't understand how our Savior's body and blood can be in the bread and wine, but we believe your promise. By this meal, forgive our sins, strengthen our faith, increase our love, and nourish our lives so that everyone can see that we are your redeemed people. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, who with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity and substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth, adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In these last days you have poured out your Holy Spirit on your church, that your sons and daughters may proclaim the wonders of your salvation, accomplished by the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Send your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, that faithfully eating and drinking the body and blood of your Son, we thereby remember him and proclaim his salvation to the ends of the earth. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
upon the blood of your Lord Jesus Christ, go in his peace.
Tears follow, and from morn to set of sun, through the church the sun goes on.
You are baptized into the name of the Holy Trinity. You receive the body and blood of your Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of all who have sinned. Take heed,
true blood of our Lord.
The true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of all who have sinned. True blood of our Lord.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the true faith to life everlasting. Go in peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be constantly enabled to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.